Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We want to take this time to welcome you all to Senior Chapel. Feel free to take a seat for a second. So, seniors, if you've somehow lost track of time or haven't been counting down, today is our very last chapel at Annapolis Area Christian School. Now, if any people here are new or haven't been to Senior Chapel before, Senior Chapel is our attempt to thank everyone who's helped us throughout the years here to celebrate our achievements by honoring the Lord. So today we're going to hear from several people, including namely Jay Jenkins, Hannah Holzer, and Mark Wiley. If you give them a round of applause real quick. We're also going to hear several songs from our lovely worship bands, and then we're going to... Right ahead. And then we're going to end our time with the Senior Scroll. So if you don't know, the Senior Scroll is a sort of year in review. It's our attempt as seniors to thank all of those who have helped us throughout our 4 years here and honor the juniors and underclassmen as they rise to be the leaders in the school. So we're going to start here with our class verse by Mary Mitchell.
So our class verse is Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we as seniors want to take this time to thank you for such an incredible 4 years. In the coming weeks and months, help us to celebrate our high school career and to do so in your name. We pray that you keep the seniors safe as they prepare to go off into the world this next coming year. Lord, use this to honor not only the graduating seniors, but also the rising seniors as they prepare to become leaders in the school. Lord, be with the speakers today. Let them speak in your name, and as we continue to worship you, and we do all this in your name. Amen.
Hi, my name is Jay Jenkins, and I'm obviously a senior here at Annapolis Area Christian School. So during my high school career, I struggled with figuring out what defined me as a person. As a freshman, I defined myself by what other people thought of me. And because of this, I was a very quiet freshman, and I had no interest at all in going to school events. I didn't even go to homecoming my freshman year. This also kept me from making friends because I had a bad fear of rejection and the feeling I got when someone didn't like me. This carried over into my grades and being afraid that if I didn't get a certain grade in a class that people would look at me different. And it also carried over into sports. My freshman year, I played basketball and lacrosse and I got no playing time in either sport that year. I felt so bad about this that it led me to quit basketball because I felt like I had to be good at some sport at least, and I felt like I had a better chance at lacrosse. I felt like maybe if I put all my effort into one sport and got good at it, then maybe people would like me. My sophomore year was a little bit better than my freshman year. I had made more friends, but in all honesty, I had no intentions at all on expanding my friend group. The fear of rejection was still very much there. But I managed to muster up enough courage to go to homecoming at least that year and a couple of life events, but that was about it. But I was still very concerned about what other people thought of me. So I would always try to dress a certain way, act a certain way, and talk a certain way to get in with the people I thought were popular. And on top of all this, I still defined myself through sports and my grades. And both took a significant hit that year. In a fall ball lacrosse game, I sprained my MCL and my ACL, and I got a concussion. Because of these, I was out for about a month and a half, and because of the concussion, I missed a lot of school time, and I had the worst academic quarter I've had in all 4 years being here. And because of all that, I kind of hit a low point, and I had a hole to dig out of for the rest of the year. I felt like things couldn't get better for me at this point, and at a worship night, closer to the end of the year, I was able to see that I'm not defined by what people think of me, but I was defined through what Christ did and how And because of that, it shaped how I viewed myself and other people for the next 2 years. My junior and senior years, I was able to come out of my bubble a little bit, and I made a lot of new friends who are like family to me now. And if I had not been able to understand it is not what, but who defines me, I would have never met them or got to know them. I was able to get involved in school, and I went to as many life events as I could. And as a result, I've loved my last 2 years here. I have had no stress in what people think of me, whether they like or don't like me. Because of my years at ACS, I've gotten a better understanding of God's love, grace, and mercy for me. And now instead of doing what I do for other people, I do what I do for God, without worrying what other people may think of it. I've also come to understand that I am not defined by my shortcomings, and that it is not the mistakes that we make that defines us, but how we respond to them that's important. Because of my experience here, I've been able to appreciate the small things and the little details of life and the little things that we miss when we try to have a perfect appearance. We miss the small conversations and we miss meeting people who can have a significant impact on our life. So I'll leave you with this. Don't ever define yourself by what other people may think of you. Only define yourself as a child of God who loves you dearly and has only your best interests at heart. Don't be afraid that people won't like you, because I've experienced that God will bring the people into your life that he wants to be there. I also encourage you to form relationships with people who can point you to Christ, especially the teachers here at the school. I wish I had formed these relationships with teachers that I have now when I was a freshman, because I would have not been able to feel the way I do now earlier. You may not always believe it, but they love you dearly, regardless of what you do, and I am a good example of that. I love you all, and the school will be very special to me and you all for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Hannah Holzer, and today I'm here to share my testimony with all of you. In my younger years, church was not a frequently acknowledged thing in my home. I went to church on Christmas and Easter, and that was about it. I heard the name of God and Christ and Jesus, but I didn't really understand what it was, how it could relate to me, and why it really mattered. During my time at home when I was young, things were not easy, and not having Christ in my environment was hard for me. My dad suffered from mixed mania, bipolar disorder, and other related illnesses. Due to these illnesses, he would go through fits of rage, periods of extreme sadness, happiness, or guilt. He used alcohol, drugs, and gambling in order to numb these pains that he was feeling. This took an immense toll on me as a person and my mom and I together. I never felt completely safe or comfortable in my environment at home. I felt like there was no escape and no one to turn to. I felt hopeless and uncomfortable when dealing with my dad or talking about him. I didn't feel comfortable with the kids at school because they didn't understand what I was going through. The one person whom I thought could protect me and care for me and be there for me and my family was not. He was sick and unable to support us. It was very difficult to see this person go through all these changes. My parents separated when I was 7 years old, and my dad was in and out of mental hospitals and care at this point. Seeing that my mom had to support our family and work full time, and my dad was not in the home, it was hard for me to find church and go to an environment where church or Jesus was being talked about. But after a while, I decided that it was time for me to find church. I had heard it talked about in my family and my cousins and friends at school, and I thought I'd check it out. My cousin started attending Weems Creek Church, and I started to attend with her. We went to church for a couple Sundays of every month, and we also went to youth group there. I started getting involved in Young Life. As I went to the church, I started to learn more about God and who he was, who Jesus was, and who the Holy Spirit is and how he lives within us. I felt the Spirit of God when I went to church, and through these times at church and youth group, I started to accept Christ as my Savior. I did not get baptized at first because I was still learning about the person of Christ, and I could never feel as if I could fully commit to him. But in the midst of this time at church and youth group, and kind of finally feeling this place of comfort, one of my hardest obstacles I've had to ever overcome took place. On the night of my dad's birthday, at a celebration, he died of a heart attack. On this night, I had talked to him, and he had been upset on the phone due to his illness and his fits of rage, and we had gotten into a pretty intense fight. I felt so guilty and so upset, I was not really sure how to react or what to do. I really questioned God at first and wondered why he had taken my dad's life, especially because I was starting to finally know who he was. I started praying and to ask him why he did this, trying to find answers. I was desperate. I was unsure of how to feel, or once again, I was going to the state of asking myself who I was and why is this happening to me. I soon realized, after continuing to get back into church after a couple months, that this was a part of God's plan, and this was for a reason. I wasn't sure what reason, but it was a part of his plan. I was recovering with the help of mentors from Young Life and from the church, and with the help of my mom and family. But as years passed, however, I still had not fully accepted Christ as my Savior, and I know it's easy to grow distant, and that's what I had done. I grew distant. During this time, I noticed that something was wrong. I ignored it till I could no longer properly function in my environment. I started doing these little quirks. I would open and close my door, check my locks, like on my door, line up the pencils, but I ignored it at first, but it got to a point where I couldn't. Due to my illness that I had not known that I had, I was so scared of getting contagious diseases or that someone close to me would die, I was soon opening and closing my door 30 times before I could walk in, washing and sanitizing my hands 25 times a day, and I could not even touch certain objects, items, papers inside of my room or at school. It got so bad that I would sit on my stairs for hours on end wondering what to do because I couldn't walk up and down without going through these compulsions yet again. I was not in relationship with Christ, and I had reverted to my states that I had previously felt within my life. I got to the point where my irrational and rational feelings were so mixed, I didn't understand what was happening. I was in this hole of despair, and I felt as if, like when I was younger, no one could listen to understand me. One day, I had one of the worst anxiety attacks I had ever experienced, and I prayed. I hadn't prayed in months, but I prayed. I did not understand why I was being so afflicted with these horrible thoughts, and I turned to God. I knew I needed something bigger to get me out of this, and no one was going to be able to help me at this time. I asked God to relieve me of my thoughts, just to give me some solace, some comfort, some anything. I begged him for help, for comfort, just a way, something to turn to. A couple days later, my mom had come to me and said, "Today I had lunch with one of my coworkers. Her daughter suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder, and she provided me of the names of some local therapists that work with our daughter. She came to me and she said we were going to figure this out." This was 2 days after I just called out to God and asked him to provide me with some relief. As hard as this was for me, going through all these things, I realized what God had done for me. I realized that I was not going to accept him as my Savior until he had shown me himself. I reaffirmed my belief that Jesus was my Savior after a few months of therapy and getting my mind back on track with the help of therapy and different methods. After these short months, I finally accepted Christ as my Savior and fully committed to him. I got baptized, and I started to find different options for school because I was kind of uncomfortable with my previous school. I found AACS, and I found people who would support and strengthen me as I continued to struggle and deal with my obsessive compulsive disorder. I realize now that this was all part of God's plan. He put me through these trials for a purpose. I cannot tell you why, but he put me through these trials for a reason. I know that God will never give us more than we can handle, and God didn't give me more than he can handle, because I'm able to share this with you today. Through God, I have strengthened relationships around me, and he has enabled me to go through hard times so I can help comfort and support others that I see need help. And that's my testimony.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Wiley, and I'm obviously a senior here at AECS. I've been attending AECS for 14 years, and when you're 18 years old, 14 years is a significant portion of your life. So, and not only have I been at AECS for most of my life, but AECS has been my life. It's where I have met most of my friends. It's even where my dad works. It's where I have learned many, many things. I've learned how to read and write, and I've learned how to analyze a piece of literature and write an essay on it. I've learned how to do basic arithmetic, and I've learned how to do calculus. Well, I've kind of learned how to do calculus. And although these things are great, and these are things that I have valued a lot during my time at AECS, I think sometimes I've valued it too much, and I've put academic learning too high on my priorities. I think that the most important learning I have gained during my time at AECS has come from my relationships. And I think that's something that is very important, and that's something that I wish I had done better, is I wish I had been more relational during my time. And I think we can especially learn from relationships with people that are different from us. It's very easy to make relationships with people that are very similar to you, same interests, similar upbringings, similar backgrounds. And that is good. It's good to have relationships with people like you. But I think it's also important to have relationships with people that are different from you. And I think those are the relationships where we can learn the most. And And I just want to talk about, although I don't think I've been the best at meeting people that are different from me and forming relationships with people that are different from me, I have managed to learn some things from people. For example, Megan O'Rourke. If you look at her and you look at me, and you put us next to each other, you might think that if we got in a fight, it would not be a fair fight. But Megan has taught me not to judge a book by its cover, because although I probably have about a foot on her, she could probably beat me up in about 10 seconds. Because she's some kind of high-level black belt in some kind of fighting thing that I do not want to have any part of. And so Megan has just helped to show me that I should not judge a book by its cover. I've also learned from many people, such as Callie Hagen and Evan Robertson and many other people, that I should know what I believe on different issues. And not only should I know what I believe, I should know why I believe them. And I should have reasons for those beliefs. And I need to be willing to defend those and willing to talk about them with people when people ask me about it. And I think that's one of the major things I've learned, and I think I've grown over the past few years just from having conversations with people that maybe have different opinions from me, maybe have the same opinions, but just talking about it helps you to learn more. And helps you to really think, am I just believing this because I think that's what I should believe, or do I actually believe this, and do I actually have reasons for why I believe this? I've learned from Chris and Kate Ridenour. They have been in my life since I was 4 years old. They are lifers with me, and I've learned from them that I have no reason not to be joyful in my life. I think that is something I've struggled with, something that I wish I'd have done better, is be more joyful, because my life is great. And Chris and Kate, their life has been a lot more difficult than mine. And yet they have been joyful through it all. They've been, I think pretty much everyone who has ever interacted with them can agree that they are just full of joy in every conversation you have with them. And I think that's amazing, the strength that they have to have gone through what they've gone through and still be a light to other people and still be joyful. And that's something that I admire about them and something that I wish I could have more of. I've learned from my mentors throughout the year, Mr. Swanson, Mr. Hansen, and Coach Scheid. I've learned what it means to be a man in today's world, and not just a man in today's world, but a Christian man in today's world. And that's come from not just having conversations with them. That has been a big part of it, talking about it, asking questions, them asking me questions, but also just the way that they live. And they've been examples of that. And I think a lot of teachers at ACS are examples of how to live, and I think that's just very important that I have been able to observe them and learn from them. And the last person I want to talk about is Mrs. Reynolds. I don't think she knows this, but she is the most influential teacher I've had at AECS. And that's because she has taught me that Christianity, it is a practice and it does have things that we're supposed to do, but it's a relationship. And I think that's something I've struggled with a long time, is following Christianity as just do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. But Mrs. Reynolds, just by the way she lives and by the way she taught her Bible class my sophomore year, she's so personal with God. And it's just every time she prays, it's like she's having a conversation, a two-way conversation, not just a one-way conversation where it's, Lord, please forgive me, Lord, please do this, please do that, help me to do this. She talks to him like he's there, and that's something that I admire and something that I hope I can have more of. And so these lessons, like I've said, are very important to me, and I think these are lessons I'm going to use for the rest of my life, because 30 years, I'm probably not going to need to know how to integrate functions and analyze a piece of literature, unless for some reason I end up doing that for my job. But I will need to know how to talk to people, and I will need to know how to be able to relate to people that are different from me. And I think that's something that ACS does well, and something that's valued a lot at ACS and can still be valued more is relationships. And I want to read a verse, Proverbs 1:5. It says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands obtain guidance. And so with that verse, I would just like to encourage you to ask questions, meet new people, branch out, and just have conversations. And when you ask them questions, make sure you're listening and make sure you're paying attention to what they're saying. So just get out, meet new people, meet people that are different than you, and you might be surprised at the lessons you learn. Thank you.
Okay, so in a second, we're going to have the senior scroll read by Isaiah and Nigel Park. But first, I'm going to close this section of chapel in prayer. So bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, we lift this time up to you. We thank you for all the relationships we've made over our time at AACS, whether we've been here for a short time or for 14 years. We thank you for the teachers and the faculty and staff who have poured so much love into our lives as we've worked throughout our education. We thank you for our parents and our family who have shown so much love and mercy to us as we've worked hard throughout our whole education, whether at AACS or elsewhere. We want to take this time to ask you for provision over the seniors, no matter where they go next year, that you be looking after them, whatever they do. We ask that you help the juniors and all the underclassmen as they rise up to be rising seniors, juniors, and sophomores, to be leaders and to show you in everything they do. Help AACS to prosper, and that throughout the following years, we'll do everything in your name. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so I welcome up Nigel and Isaiah to read the senior scroll.
Dear class of 2019, after a long 3 years, we are sorry to say that our time with you has come to an end. Out of the years we have shared, we have experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly. So as we prepare to leave, we thought we'd leave you with some parting thoughts, advice, and some of our favorite things.
We bequeath to you all your rightful place at the downstairs lockers. We know you've been coveting this privilege for 3 long years. Unfortunately, there will still be pushing and shoving, so we send our apologies ahead of time. As we make our way, a few of our favorite things will be left behind for you all. We offer up our favorite teachers, hangout spots, and the freedom to roam the hallways, which you all have been doing since the fall semester of your freshman year anyways. We give you the opportunity to strengthen your class bond through senior dress-up days and lunches off campus. Just make sure you're back on time for Ms. Beale's sake. We all know that she runs this joint, so you got to be on her good side. Although I'm certain she doesn't have a bad side. The woman's a saint, just saying.
We entrust to you our sports teams, bands, choirs, and clubs, all of which we ask that you remember that the game honors toughness. And who you are speaks loud, so loudly that we can't hear what you're saying.
Spread the love!
We hand down the Wednesday honk days, although you haven't heard honking for a little while here. We hand down leading, or rather not leading, cheers at basketball games, the cherish worship nights, very well, and the responsibility of practicum. We are sincerely apologizing ahead of time for all the work that'll take out of you. We promise not to be like Brian Heverly, who seems to have every Friday night off to watch AECS sports.
We give you Mr. Hagen for his hatred toward Jack, Jeff, and Kyler when he's always saying, "I want to punch you in the face." And his best buddy, Coach Lynn, who's always saying, "Roll out" in the during lunch because you know he wanted that piece of the pie.
We give you all Mr. Sharon to hang out with since you won't have senior mentor groups. We also hand over Mr. Scheid, who has an uncanny ability to commandeer any conversation so that he can share his opinions rather than you guys getting your words in.
We give you Mrs. Beal and access to our precious couches, which we have protected the last 3 years. We give you the tradition of the Christmas carol and of the bells, though we will miss Evan, Cassidy, Kyler, and both Zachs. At least you'll have Mr. King and Mr. Hall and Andrew. Wait, at least you'll have Andrew Howe.
In all honesty, we are willing to be held responsible for all the teachers that have left after having our class. Many have fought the good fight, but many have also had to tap out. After our freshman year, if you'll remember, fellow seniors, Camacho, Vineyard, Ellis, Smith, shall I go on? And our sophomore year,
however, take hope. In the English department, we leave you Mrs. Schmidt and Mr. Nebbia. Oh, wait. We give you Vaughn. Or should I say Mr. Writings, who can make any easy class, extremely difficult. We give you Mr. Schaefer and all of his snakes. He's going to be the new hall monitor. However, if anybody wants to challenge him for the vacated position, you can speak to Reese Clark about what the job entails and how to miss your classes yet still graduate.
We bestow to you all the daily gamble that is sage. Shall it be sandwich day or main course? And of course, while on the topic of our food service, we leave you all with the distant, greasy memories of the Tommy's days and the wonderful boost that came with it. Rip to the cookies and ice cream that they sold.
Amidst all this giving, however, we can't offer you all a victory at Spirit Week next year because chances are you'll lose to the class of 2020. But we do offer to you AACS, quote, Annapolis Area Couple School, end quote.
Dating, it's something y'all have been doing for a long time over these past 3 years. Is there some sort of algorithm that the juniors have developed? Because at this point, there's got to be a schedule that y'all are on.
All right, roll out. Say now.
Lock it up.
Now, after all this joking, you might wonder what we truly cherish about the class of 2019. We get the lifelong memories and friendships we have made with you. We have seen you grow into people you are today at the student life events we shared. We will cherish the spring flings, worship nights, basketball games, and classes with you. You have made us laugh, and you have made us cry. We have been with you at your best and worst. You have done the same for us.
Please remember, you are all created in the image of God, and our job is to bring him glory. As you may well remember, we glorify God by seeking truth, stewarding creation, and what's that last one? Does anybody know? Serving others. There we go. Glad you're listening. The call is carried out by representing Christ in every interaction with teachers, peers, and loved ones. Be faithful in those exchanges and take each of them as an opportunity to bless someone else. We now challenge you all, class of 2019, and those rising up as well in freshman and sophomore classes, to uphold this standard and as the new leaders of the student body.
We welcome you to the challenge and adventure that is senior year. Sincerely, the class of 2018.
Okay, so in a second, we are going to dismiss all the freshmen and sophomores. But first, can I have all the seniors come up to the stage, please? Okay, now that we're mostly all up here, as is tradition at Annapolis Area Christian School, can we have all of the class of 2019 move down to the front? Does not matter where you sit for now, just sit in the front. Class of 2019, class of 2019, we congratulate you for your rise to seniorhood, or almost there. We thank you for all the memories we've made with you, and we wish you good luck in the following years. At this time, can all the freshmen and sophomores please head off to your next class? Seniors, go find the person that you want to give your senior scroll to.